Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
The voice kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, that's not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself? Oh, yeah, I suppose you would.
But that's my name now.
Tell that to my subconscious.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 554. We are on the road to 600, folks. And I've teased this plenty of times before in the last 500 and something episodes, or at least since episode 515, maybe. So the last 40 something episodes, whatever it is. But I have a long-term plan to get us to 600 episodes. It's going to be 100 episodes in 2025, 600 to 700 by January 1st to December 31st. You're going to get 100 episodes of the pull bag between those months next year. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Returning for our yearly Batman Beyond coverage is none other than JT from Saskatoon. How the hell have you been?
Oh, God, the sun is up.
Yeah, well, it's cloudy here, so thankful for that.
I'm just saying that because I work a lot of nights. It's like, I'm like a vampire with a paper route. I don't like getting up before noon. But, yeah, I'm back.
He's back, and we're all about the Batman Beyond Neo-Gothic. This will air in May of 2024. We are doing all six issues in one shot. We are not doing multi-parters like we did last year with Neo-Year. New Year, we did March 8th and 15th of 2023. So it's roughly been about a year and 2 months since we've done this kind of stuff. And yeah, Neo Gothic. I was excited for this. And then I was like, oh, really, Constantine? Really? And yes, folks, there will be spoilers. The comic has been out for a while, so.
I think with movies, a couple of years, 2 to 3 years is beyond that. You know, you shouldn't have to
worry about spoilers.
You shouldn't have to worry about giving spoilers. You shouldn't complain about spoilers with comics. If it's 6 months, I mean, if you're an active reader, I mean, everyone, it's a fluid rule for everybody.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I am not like, okay, I'm an active reader. I think this is the only DC stuff we've done in a year. I really do, because I haven't been able to get into any of the other DC stuff that they're doing. I haven't been. How long ago was Fear State or whatever the next changeover was? Whatever the next after Rebirth, I forget what the hell they called it.
Okay, so just to clear up for listeners, no, when Mike says Rebirth, that wasn't an quote-unquote storyline. That was the that's the new publishing initiative. It's like when Marvel did all new Marvel Now and all new all different Marvel Now, like that.
Like New 52 Rebirth and then whatever this next one is. That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying it's the storyline, but I don't even remember what was it. Dawn of DC, isn't Dawn of DC the current one?
That spun out of the events of Dark Crisis, which for the sheer number, I mean, exponentially speaking, the sheer number of world-shattering crises that DC has put out as publishing, like, special events in the last 10 years is, like, I'm thinking by, if we don't have another, like, line-wide reboot by 2025 at the latest, DC's lost their goddamn minds. But because I mean, you had Flashpoint, and it wasn't a crisis, necessarily. Then you had the Convergence event, yep. which I really enjoyed reading, but that's just me. But then you know, you get the real ones. You had Dark, you know, had Dark Metal. You had, or is it Dark Knights Metal, Dark Knights Death Metal, Dark Crisis, and Infinite Crisis Squared Electric Boogaloo, whatever the next one's going to be. And I mean, like, you know, like the guy we're talking about today, our boy Terry, you know, he got caught up in all that rigmarole with like the New 52 and Convergence and all that. Cause you know, you had Terry go back in time during the events of the Earth 2 Futures End, which led into kind of the Earth 2 ongoing series. And yeah. then, you know, he got disappeared because that was an entirely like different timeline. And then when they brought Batman Beyond back, it was drafting off of the previous run of Batman Beyond stories where Tim Drake in the future becomes Batman Beyond.
Yep. Well, we covered all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying this for the readers, you know, just brief summation. Yep. And then, you know, Terry came back as Tim literally drove off into the sunset, never to be heard from again. You know, it's like, what's her name? Tori from Saved by the Bell, or like the youngest Winslow daughter. You know, they went upstairs and they were never heard from again.
Again, yeah.
You know, so Tim is amongst esteemed company in that respect. But yeah, we're here after, you know, the last time I was here, I was like, Jesus, it's been a while. And yeah.
That's the problem with Batman Beyond. I don't know if it's DC. I don't know if it's that, like, Jackson.
DC.
It probably is DC, but like literally, and I know comics take a while, like it took what's off and on 6 months for the last six issues, which is fine. That was last year. And I'm sure that came out sometime the end of 2022 into 2023 or something like that. I don't think Neo year was all of 2023 because you know how I am. I'm waiting until it's all done. I try my best not to do single issue reading anymore because it takes up too much time. And it's like my anticipation is like, I want the whole story now, damn it. Give it to me now. But
it's called patience, Mike. You have to develop it at some point.
Nope, never going to happen.
Never going to give you up.
That's right.
Never going to let you down. Yeah,
that's right. But Colin Kelly, Jackson Lansing on writing, Max Dunbar on pencils and inks, Sebastian Chang is the colorist. Letter was Hassan Otsmano. I can't pronounce the rest of your name, Hassan. I'm sorry. But Jackson and Colin and Max, they did a great job. I just want more Batman Beyond than 6 months out of the year. Like even if it's different writers, like all the stuff we've covered so far in the dude, we've been covering this stuff. Well, 10,000 Clowns was a while ago, but when was that? When did I just had that pulled up. Hold on. Going back in the GCR and history banks, folks, let's see here. Yeah, that's right. We started 10,000 Clowns. I forget. Did I do 10,000 Clowns with you? I do not remember.
Done pretty much all the Batman Beyond stuff the last couple of years, Mike.
Yeah, the last couple of years, I know, but I'm trying to remember. No, okay, so Steve and I started back in February of 2015 with Batman Beyond, 10,000 Clowns, and Batgirl Beyond. And then we did Rewired and Justice Lords Beyond, and we did all the Kyle Higgins run. And then in 2015 or 2017, you and I started with Brave New Worlds, which is the Tim Drake Batman Beyond run. So 2017 to now, six and a half years we've been doing this out of the 11 years of the podcast.
Yeah.
And in all that time, you can't have more than one Batman Beyond quote-unquote miniseries per year? Come on, DC. And well, I'm talking to the company. I'm not talking about any of the creatives or anything. I'm not trying to make fun of them or anything, but like, damn it, DC. Like, you have like 90 million other Batman titles, yet you can only have one Batman Beyond title per year? Really?
Well, you know, it's a popular character, but it's not so popular that he can sustain an ongoing, and I think we should just count our lucky batarangs that we get a miniseries now and again, and they have some plans to continue using him in the future.
Okay, I understand that, and I agree with that to a certain extent and point. Point being, DC Comics, DC, Warner Brothers, whoever the hell. This is 2024. It is the 25th anniversary of Batman Beyond. Do something! Like, seriously. Like, they do, and I get it. Bruce Wayne, Batman, it started it all in 1939, all this. It's the 85th anniversary of Batman overall this year and everything else. But come on, DC. Do something, please. I want more of this. We've loved... Has there been certain things in each of these series that we've covered over the last 7, 8, 9, almost 10, 11, 12 years that we don't like? Yeah, sure. Overall, I love reading Batman Beyond Comics. I want more Batman Beyond Comics. We don't need a Damian Wayne one-shot or miniseries or bullshit. We don't need whatever other... Whatever. It's Batman Beyond's 25th anniversary. Come on. All right, I'm off my soapbox, I think.
You never get off your soapbox.
Shut up. Neo-Gothic, I already gave the creatives. This was weird.
I'll tell you the weirdest thing about this is I still cannot come up, like, rereading this and trying to put voices.
Mm-hmm.
To certain characters, you know, like in the vain, futile hope that they would ever adopt the Batman Beyond Neo series into like an animated film or two. I can't come up with a voice actor for Luminos.
Or for Lumos.
Like, Lumos. I want to say John Cryer, but that just seems like too
easy. That's too Lenny and too Lex. No, that's too Superman stuff.
Cryer did do a good soup. I thought he did a pretty good Lex Luthor on Super.
Yeah, no, he did. I'm not saying he didn't. It's he absolutely did.
And I wanted to say Walton Goggins, but that's maybe a little too dark.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, oh God, I can't remember the actress's name, but like, you know, Detective Beam, guy, I can't remember her name. She played Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I could totally see her voicing that.
I had never seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so...
I got to look that up right now.
Yeah, while he's looking that up, I'm going to talk about the voices I hear in my head. I will forever and always hear Wilfried L. as Terry / Batman.
Stephanie Beatrice was Detective Rosa Sanchez.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'm looking at Lumos, and I'm like, You know, okay, so let's see, what is it, issue 1, page 13, where we first kind of see him, his design, the way he's drawn, the way he's colored, it's kind of like Michael Rooker and Yondu looking, even though it's all blue and white and pasty.
I mean, in the face, yeah, I could see Michael Rooker, but he's got... And this isn't a good or bad thing. He's got too much character in his voice for Lumos. He wants somebody that could schmooze, that sounds like a bit of a shit heel, you know, which is why I thought John Cryer. Now, I mean, yeah, Lenny Luthor, it happened. We're moving on. It's just, I think John Cryer would be a great voice for him, and you know, we'll get to the story. It's just and like I said, Stephanie Beatrice as Beam. I want Corey Burton to voice the Gestalt.
Yes,
you know, because that's totally a disembodied robotic voice with that shockwave cadence.
Yep,
you know, and. You know, we're introduced as we get into the story, you know, eventually Terry meets this character called Kyle the Cat Boy, B-O-Y boy, where he goes into the Gotham Underground or the Gotham Deep or the Undergoth. It's referred to as, basically think old New York City and Futurama with the rest of the new New York built over top. That's literally what it is. I want to say the kid from the voiced Finn on Adventure Time. And then we'd have to find a character somewhere in here to get John DiMaggio so we could have an Adventure Time reunion for Finn and Jake. But yeah, the story, as we last left Terry, they're trying to get, you know, vigilantes become a thing in Gotham again, Neo Gotham, as it's called now. You know, he sent his mom and his brother to Metropolis because y'all don't want to be here. He stopped the off-brand Skynet that was the living Gotham from taking over. He gets the sweet new anime-esque bat suit, which I don't remember how much I said about the new design in the last time, but I love this suit. Like, it's clean lines. You got the red soles on his feet, the red talons. He's, you know, kind of Tron-like power lines kind of design. It's decent. And Terry's running himself ragged, being a one-man vigilante force in Gotham. And he's sitting there staring at a can of shock energy. He's basically looking at a future version of Monster Energy. He's like, should I? Shouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then he has one of those, as many people who still have their mothers in their lives, with respect to Mike, have those kind of conversations where I'm not arguing. I'm just being a mom kind of conversations. No. And I'm just, I feel Terry's pain because I don't hate my mom, but I hate my mom. Get off my case, mom. And it's a very motherly way of ripping him a new one for missing Matt's birthday. And that tells you a lot about how much his life has changed that he hasn't told his mom, because he's not with Dana anymore. And his mom brings up Dana.
And
she's like, oh, yeah, did I not tell you I got married, Mom? Like, it's literally that kind of moment where his mother...
Did they get married?
Well, no. I'm just as an example, like, because I've seen a lot of TV shows where... And anime where characters... like the CBS SWAT show with Shamar Moore. Victor Tan, who's one of the members of the SWAT team, he got married... And his mom was all knowing all about it, but then his wife cheated on him. He got divorced, and in the show, he still hasn't told his mother that. And I'm just like, oh crap. So Terry's got some emotional baggage to deal with, and I love his. He just beelines it across Gotham Bay to the Batcave. Like, we see the ruins of old Wayne Manor that, you know, just sticking like a scab on the earth. And he flies through the waterfall entrance. And I dig that so much. It's like, you know, how the tumbler got into the Batcave in the Nolan trilogy.
Yeah.
And he skids to a stop, and all of a sudden this cyber brain, whatever, that the Gestalt has turned the Batcave into. 'Cause it does not look like the Batcave of old.
No, it does not at all.
And then that shiny-faced asshole ruins the story. Like, I wonder how much how many yards of tinfoil gave their lives for Lumos to have these sparkly duds.
Yeah, that was a little much. And that's way over the top, for Lumos.
And again, if we could go back in time and get like Michael Rooker from like Cliffhanger or Stephen King's The Dark Half, you know, because you get him now and all you're going to hear is Yondu with that grand, you know, he may have been your father, but he ain't your daddy, which I still cry every time I watch Guardians 2.
Yeah.
Because if as much as I love Spider-Man, he's my all time favorite Marvel character. Realistically, I'm Star-Lord, and my dad was Yondu, and I miss my dad every damn day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Lumos is, you know, committed to eradicating the living Gotham. And then he's like, so I bought all these houses. Y'all are out in the street. Don't worry. We're going to give you a comp for a hotel, and I'm going to blow everything up tomorrow.
Yep.
And everyone, you just hear the collective shitting of pants across old Gotham.
But he does say they are supposed to be controlled explosions, because what he's trying to do is he's basically doing a Roland Daggett from animated series. Instead of lighting it on fire, he's going to blow it up with controlled
He's Roland Daggett with a chrome dip.
That's right. With controlled explosions, and so everything can just be simply replaced with this bright, shiny new stuff and have a bright, shiny new glowing apartment, Lumos Industry, City of Light.
Mommy, why do all the new skyscrapers look like your toy that you keep by the bed?
That's because Mr. Lumos is a dick, kids.
Uh-huh. Yep.
No, I love that. And he's like, it's going to be controlled explosions. They're going to take care of everybody. And this is the guy that, when everything hits the fan and Gotham is being sucked down into the 10th level of hell again, mm-hmm. he's going to be saying, it's all under control, which
it's not.
And it would be like that meme from The Naked Gun where everyone slaps their forehead. You just hear this wave of smacks.
Yep.
Yeah, so I like how Beam is like, God, I hate this guy. Like, you would hear the Batman come out in her voice when she says that. And basically, Terry's, aside from sticking at the looms, Terry and Beam are trying to find these missing kids. I think. They didn't mention that too much. It's just, people are missing. And he's like, that's nice. Anyone, here's your ticket for Caesar's kids.
Yeah, I mean, they mention the missing kids because that's Terry's mission. He needs to find the missing kids. That's, oh, God, dude. I know we're not going through this page by page, panel by panel like we normally do, which is more than fine because I would rather just sit here and remember and discuss it and kind of skim through it this time. But everything in this series, all six issues, everything is an homage to something else.
Oh, yeah. Like when Terry...
The children going missing is the Forgotten, because the children getting stolen from the Forgotten in BTAS and going up to Boss Bigus and all that bullshit and whatever else and all that. And then you got Court of Owls that comes in later, and then you got this coming in later and that. And I'm like, oh my God, this is one big homage series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when Terry goes to, Gotham Deep, know, so it's down in the 7th level of hell right before the gift shop. Right. Where he meets Kyle Capoy, who's like the, he's a guy who knows a guy and he can get you things. Terry literally goes by somebody who's got like one of Bane's Venom collars on. We get a whole lot of Batman member berries. We get Crime Alley. Kyle is operating in front of the theater. Like, it literally has the of and the Z from the mark of Zorro still on the marquee.
Yeah,
and he's selling fresh fruit.
Yeah.
And he's like, for what he was selling to the people in the street, probably 10 credits. And Terry's like, how much? He's like, for you, 50 creds. And I was like, oh, God, you're, if not an actual descendant of Selina Kyle, because his name is Kyle and he's a cowboy.
Yeah. And his code name is. Yeah. What is his code name? Selinus.Kyle.450 something or other. Yeah, so that's their way of figuring out getting Catwoman or a, not really Catwoman, but a cat person for a reference to Catwoman in this story. And I don't dislike this story. I just got lost.
Yeah, you do kind of have to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
Because along the way, we find out that Kyle's backstory, like, he's a magic user who was essentially raised by the future version of John Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle is obviously taken on more than a few of John's more reprehensible personality traits. I mean, he doesn't smoke like a chimney, but he is an utter bastard. Like his dad. And he also has that whole, I want things to change, but nothing's ever going to change. Like, he's got this very fatalistic or nihilistic kind of view of the world, because it's Gotham, and how could you ever have hope in Gotham? And then they're almost eaten by a kaiju-sized killer croc, which just...
Yeah, you love that. You know you did. You jumped out of your chair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I jumped out of my chair with my hands held high, and eee! Uh-huh. They did the thing!
Uh-huh.
The thing that I didn't know that I wanted. But yeah, Croc is a kaiju, and I kind of thought of this Marvel comic character called American Kaiju, who is this literally an army soldier who, under the auspices of one of those generals, like Thunderbolt Ross, who can come up with all these batshit sane and ideas and yet never go to jail for all the damage they cause. This guy gets like PIM particles, gamma radiation, a whole bunch of these different mad sciences crammed into his body. He turns into a giant kaiju with an American flag tattooed on his chest, and his growl goes, USA.
Yeah.
So that's what I went off in my head when I saw this. Croc shows up. They're on the hunt to try and find these kids. Kyle is the most begrudging of begrudgingly helping Terry. And then as the demolition charges go off, the first one goes off and the building's almost dropped on their head. Yep. And Terry is literally like probably like 20 stories underground or something. And he's surprised when he can't get a radio call out to the cave. I was like, really, dude?
Yeah, exactly. Like, duh. Like, you've been doing this for how long, Terry? Like, this isn't 1999. 25 years ago, Terry McGinnis stumbles upon the Batcave or breaks into the Batcave or whatever and steals the suit, Terry. This is Terry that's seen a lot of shit, Terry. And he should know better than that.
Well, to this point, and I have a fairly good recollection of Batman Beyond stories, he never really has encountered magic before, like in any of the comics. Closest thing to magic would be Spellbinder shtick. And I mean, not to do scene by scene, but I do love when they're being chased by a kaiju croc here, all of a sudden Kyle mutters some gibberish and he one shots a kaiju.
Yep.
He literally uppercuts Croc. Mm-hmm. Like Mike Tyson swinging at Jake Paul in the near future. And dear God, I hope that punk goes down for the count. But he one shots him. And then Terry is, of course, magic is real. Of course it is. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
And then for all the slight anime, it's not references, but inferences in this story. Kyle's like, what, don't tell me you've never seen a magical cat boy before. And Terry just stares at him like.
Not really.
That is pure Frank Miller, Michael Ironside voiced Batman staring at him right now. He's mm-hmm. just like, don't be a sarcastic. Don't be a sarcastic. Yeah, and they move on. And then Lumos, he's leveled all this stuff. He's literally set off an earthquake, which makes me think of the Cataclysm storyline from the 90s, where there are fault lines on the East Coast of United States. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. The chances are very low, but they're never zero of an earthquake hitting New York. And Lumos walks over. He hits this icon, and all of a sudden this holographic
thing.
Yeah. I want to say Googleplex. Like, that's a number, but that just is the only word, because that's what this thing looks like. It's just all angles and light and holograms. And then Lumo says, the future is lit. And I was like, oh, God, the millennial generation Z's have invaded Batman. But he's sitting there just smug preening you know, hard light. I'm sorry. Like, I'm all for having hard light holograms. Like, I would love to have a holodeck.
Yeah.
To mess around in. The only way hard light technology works is if you can guarantee to, like, the 1,000 decimal percentage that the power's not going to go and you're not going to fall to your death from the 15th story.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how do you think this is a sustainable business module or business model?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
And I do like how he says, weren't you listening, ex-detective? Like, just twist the knife a little bit. Yep. We must leave the darkness where it belongs. And I mean, this is the end of the second issue. We get to this point, but that's where we get our, oh God, the Corvalls. Well, of course, they're in the future of Batman Beyond, because when aren't the Corvalls part of Batman now?
Well, I got to say, though, I did some quick math and some quick looking and running down just to so we could cover this part of the story. The Corvalls originally debuted in September of 13 years ago this year coming up.
Yeah.
It's been 13 years since the new – I mean, it's been longer than – well, whatever. Well, but you get my point.
2011.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It started.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, holy crap, it's been 13 years, and I don't know how much more – and you can tell me because you read more of it than I do. I don't know how many more Corvalls things have happened since the original Scott Snyder story.
Well, they've become one of the most pervasive, like, returning, endlessly returning villains, like, every so often. You know, oh, the Corvalls. And it's not like they're bad. Like, they're used, I arguably say, somewhat sparingly. It's okay. Just, I love the Corvalls. I mm-hmm. do love, like, the whole evil secret society, all that. Like, one of my favorite elements of classic X-Men comics is, you know, the Hellfire Club,
right?
Like, from the 70s, you know, the Dark Phoenix saga and all that. And you know, just to have, like, this, you know, rich person's gentleman's club that like, there's some of that idea, you know, not necessarily the richness, the aristocracy, but the idea that, you know, there's this, what goes on in behind the doors of this thing. And I mean, what goes on inside the inner sanctum of this rich person paradise kind of thing. And so I like the Corvalls. Like, I really do enjoy that as an idea. It's just, outside of Night of Owls and or Corvalls and Night of Owls, the original two storylines that introduced them,
yeah,
I just don't think they've been used effectively, like, to their, like, I think their potential is still there. It hasn't been tapped as much as I would like it to be. And right. It's kind of become, like, just as an example, like, how, oh, yes, it's the Joker. It's something that Ben and I have talked about many times on our own podcast, The Comic Connoisseurs. Give it a listen. Where we've both said, like, if we were ever to reboot DC, you know, we each have our ideas. Ben's tack, and I love this idea, is don't use the Joker for, like, 3 years. Like, yeah. Barely mention clowns. You know, Harley Quinn's a character, so you can talk about it, but don't mention Mr. J. And I'm almost to the point with the Corvalls that I kind of wish they wouldn't be used for a couple of years, because they haven't, and this is just me, this is, like, you know, where you try some new takeout and, like, oh God, that's too spicy, you know? And every time you get takeout, it's always too spicy. Like, every time there's a Batman storyline, times out of 10, the Corvalls is in there. And it's just, sorry on that, Rand. It's just, I like the Corvalls, but
I mean, I was surprised to see them because, again, like I said, for me, Batman Beyond, unless DC gets more He-Man stuff, or unless they get more Thundercat stuff, or unless they do something else with other Warner Brothers properties, I am so far behind in my favorite character, Nightwing. I haven't read any of the new Nightwing stuff. I know I need to. I haven't read any of the Batgirl stuff. I haven't read any of it.
Nightwing has a dog now.
Is it named Ace?
No, it's named Haley.
Oh, I remember that.
And she has a superhero name, too.
Oh, Lord.
Bitewing. Given to him by Barbara.
I remember seeing those news stories now. I haven't read it yet, but I remember everybody just going crazy over Haley the Bite.
Oh, it is one of the most adorable additions to comic book canon that I have seen in quite a while. It was kind of like when it's kind of like when they brought back Devil Dinosaur in Marvel Comics with Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, and he just becomes like this big old, puppy dog in the body of a blood red T-Rex. But there's so much stuff that I could catch you up on just in conversation here. But, as we keep going.
But the Court of Owls, I'm not saying this arc is bad. I enjoyed this 6 issues. All as I'm saying is what I said earlier. Almost everything I see in here is an homage to something that has already happened, to a part of Batman history that has already happened, like with this Court of Owls stuff. I like this. I think issue 3 is really cool. I think it's interesting. I like seeing a giant green no ring lantern Batman, because it's like green Lazarus Pit juice or something with this giant Court of Owls Talon Batman looking thing, and that's a cool damn design. So I'm not complaining at all. Like I said before, and I'll say it again throughout the rest of this episode, the story just lost me. I don't know how it lost me, but it lost me to the point of, what's the point? Okay, you want to save the children, I get that. What's the other point? Stop John Constantine. So Constantine is the villain, or did the owls take him over? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too stupid to read this stuff.
As Terry, and just like one last thing, Terry finds this sigil on the ground as him and Kyle are mucking about, and it says, the Tomb of Owls. I absolutely love where you see the teeth, like, it's that curved teeth interlocking thing where it opens up and it turns into the bat. Like, you see it's the bat symbol. It's like, mwah. And this is, like, with the Court of Owls, I think the thing that bothers me is just a bunch of these rich assholes in these vaguely owl-looking, like, blank mask, which is part of their shtick. But, like, no, this is the Court of Owls I want. I want these old, bony, glowing green, glowing green pustules all over their skin, zombie-looking motherfuckers in this quorum underneath Gotham City. No, this is a villainous group. It was like, let's see one of these assholes come up to the surface and try and make a deal. And I love Kyle's hands are on his head. He's like, what the F? And then we get zombie fungus Batman, which was not on my multiverse bingo card.
Nope.
This guy is spooky looking on the level of the vampire Batman from that Elseworlds trilogy of graphic novels. Y'all should check that out. He's fighting zombie fungus Batman. And Kyle is literally just like, hamina, hamina, hamina. Yep. And we finally get, I love it. It's like, who you want to know who taught me magic? Topside, which is his nickname for Terry. He is the single most cursed person in the entire damn world. When I first read this issue, when I first, that panel, that sentence, I knew exactly who he was talking about. I did not need the revelation on the next page. This old, crusty-looking John Constantine, who is probably so riddled with cancerous tumors that it probably doesn't hurt him to smoke anymore, because what's one more tumor?
Yeah.
But yeah, we get that, and they escape. And meanwhile, and I get you where you lose the story. Like, these explosions are taking down the Narrows, which is, just so far above the Court of Owls chamber here.
Yeah.
And I get you. It's like we concentrate so much on the magic and everything going down in the, the underdeep here.
Yeah.
While Beam and the Gestalt and people are just trying to stop Lumos. Like, it, to me, overall, by the end of the story, like, they bring it back together. But I don't feel like the story moves in a smooth enough progression from beat to beat. Because it's like Terry spends most of the storyline in the Underdeep.
Yep.
Which I just love that name, calling, you know, Gotham Underground. In the Underdeep, fighting, you know, zombie Batman, zombie fungus Batman with Kyle, and dealing with Constantine's bull. And then, you know, we get Kyle's origin.
Yeah.
And zombie fungus Batman comes back. And then we get kaiju-ized versions of Poison Ivy, Black Orchid, and the mother-loving Swamp Thing. Who only looks slightly dissimilar from his wooden horns and wings form that he got in the New 52 at one point. Like, imagine a moss-covered version of an angel and you're about there.
Yeah.
And but there's all these big swings, and there is, like I said, there's a lot of member berries in this story. And I do dig the story. It's just, it's not, I wish there was a word that would express the idea of disjointed and fractured, because that's what the story feels like. There's all this really cool stuff. You could have done an entire storyline of Terry going into the Underdeep and dealing with John Constantine's bullshit, and then come up and find out he's been gone for 2 weeks and Lumos is about to start, you know, leveling the Narrows. And see, that could be the next story.
See, that's the, so, okay, you got six issues. Six issues is normally in the last, what is it, almost 100 years of comics, usually the length, normally, most of the time, of a first story. Like, you go over to Skybound Entertainment right now, Transformers, numbers 1 through 6. That's the first story arc of the new Transformers comic. So issues 1 to 6, you could have two stories. Like you're saying, Batman Underground dealing with Constantine. So let's say in the first issue, Batman does that. Batman goes underground. Batman does whatever he's going to do to get down into the Underdeep. Meanwhile, as a teaser, at the end of the first issue, you have Lumos doing all this other stuff on the surface of Gotham. Second issue, third issue, we get the middle and climax of the Underdeep stuff. Terry comes back up. Time has passed. And oh shit, Lumos has done all this stuff or whatever he's going to do or whatever. And it's been whatever. So you then spend issue 4, 5, and 6 telling that story for 4 and 5 and then concluding it in 6. And that, look, this is a complete story. Not saying it's not. There is like multiple little parts in it, but there, it is a complete story. It just, I don't like,
I think
Batman what, and magic.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Batman, you know, and the many different incarnations and eras of Batman, you know, you had the 1950s and early 60s, you know, the Dick Sprang era is kind of what I recall, where, you know, he goes back in time with Professor Nichols by being hypnotized, or he'll run into literal magic and he just kind of accepts it and rolls with it, or tells Batmite to get out of the Batcave, you bother me, kid. And then you have more modern stuff where, you know, magic isn't real, and it's he does the Arthur C. Clarke thing. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. It's always fun. I've always enjoyed stories where Batman goes up against magic. But, I mean, you have this here where him and Kyle fight through the trio of, like, mystic plant people clones, whatever they are. Kyle's kind of getting whooped. They found the kids. Their souls are being leached off by Constantine, who's got this Doctor Strange-esque rotted plant vine suit that he's preparing for some forthcoming crisis. You know, basically, he sees that, like, the world shit already, so F this. Let's do a reboot, which I really hope this is in some way of DC stealthing the next reboot, just planting the seed in the back of our minds, but, you know, who knows? And he's, we get like one of the most succinct summations of Constantine's character. He was a dirtbag street magician who took what he couldn't earn. And I was like, my God, that is so succinct in a summation of his character. Yep. And he goes all like Swamp Thing with like the plant face. And then we get to Lumos and he's like, get me whiskey, the real stuff, not the synth shit. And then he basically calls to taunt, and for some reason he thinks from the talks here, like he keeps trying to win Beam over to his side, and he feels like, you know, we know each other. I can tell, you know, I'm not really a bad guy. Or, you know, it's like the inverse of the Wreck-It Ralph thing. It looks like I'm a bad guy, but I am not a bad guy.
Then
he blows up another three city block, or at least you think he does. And then he's like, no, this isn't me, man. And because this is the point in the story where the two stories start intersecting with each other without like direct connections, I feel, because essentially Constantine, in creating this plant undergrowth in the Underdeep, he's eaten away at the bedrock foundations of Gotham City. So while the city would have still kept standing because Lumos is up there spamming the B button with his bombs, like a kid growing up in the 1980s would do with a video game.
Right.
Now the city is literally starting to sink into the 10th level of hell again.
Yeah.
And this is also reminiscent of not just the Cataclysm storyline in the 90s, but an element of the Fear State crossover amongst the Bat titles a couple of years ago, where Poison Ivy had been split into like this pure love of plants and I just want the world to live. And then Queen Ivy, who is, well, for lack of a better term, she's a huge bitch and she's going to kill Gotham City. And she's eaten away at the bedrock with her plants so that she could collapse the city into a giant sinkhole. And for some reason, supervillains always think it's a great idea to suck Gotham City into the 10th level of hell. So this is where they start coming back together in this giant. It looks like have you ever played the Arkham games?
No, but I've seen people play them.
Okay. Like, this plant that comes up out of the ground looks like one of the monster plants that shoot the spores that cures the scarecrow's fear toxin in Arkham Knight. And then we've got Kaiju Croc and the Court of Owl zombies, or the Combies, as I have been calling them in my head. You know, because they literally look like it's got these nuclear, like, highlighter green pustules glowing in the back of their heads, and they're like, must get to Starbucks, kind of.
Yeah.
I imagine that's how they're crawling. And like, it's a fun story. Again, this, if they had done this, I don't know if it would work with 7 issues, but I feel like if you did 7 issues and then odd issues were Terry's story and even issues were Beam trying to, you know, stop Lumos somewhat.
Yeah.
I think if you flip back and forth like that and you have the final issues, you know, as they come together, like here, and I see that's what they were kind of doing the entire time. It's just like
the execution on it. It just, I don't know. Again, it's not bad writing. We're not complaining about the writing, folks. And we're certainly not complaining about the art, because the art is amazing. I love the art in this. And in, what is it, issue 5 here? Because I think I'm a little behind, but on issue 5, the flashback to the fact that, you know, Terry is Terry, but Matt is Robin. And then you get you see old Bruce for a couple of things. You see Dana for a little bit. So it's night on. And then you see Batman Beyond as sort of an ace. Like, he's turned into a, even though it's a cat, but whatever. Catman Beyond. No. Nobody do that, please. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It just,
maybe it's a little too wild and wacky, I think.
Yeah, maybe I need to go back and listen to our other episodes from the last story arc, because the last story arc, I remember it being more.
There was more of a focus in Neo Year, you know, because I think it's not that you can't do stories on multiple fronts with Batman Beyond, but they split the focus, and split's the wrong word. They fractured the focus of storytelling because, you know, like Terry has been underground for like the last three issues, or well, since the beginning, really. But, you know, the last four issues with, you know, when we're in issue five here reading through the digital trade.
Yeah.
And, you know, we only get so much, and it's just a whole lot of Beam losing your shit, Lumos being a preening, smug asshole, and the bombs going off to level these buildings, and that's, you know, negatively impacting Kyle and Terry's adventure underground. Yeah. But it's just like there wasn't as much focus on the core story of, like, in Neo Year with Terry moving on and having forced to evolve as Batman,
yeah,
which is one of the best things of Neo Year, was Terry having to become his own Batman, a right. new Batman.
Yep.
And where this is like his first big adventure after that, you know, ascending to this new level.
Yep.
But there's so much crazy going on and stuff that Terry hasn't come up against before. And that's not that.
Yeah. Like, I get it. You want to challenge your hero. You want to, and we will, you and I love nostalgia, but you and I will be the first ones to say, oh no, not this again. Kind yeah, of like thing. Like, but this, it was a little too wild and wacky. Like we said, this was like, how often did Bruce ever come up again in comics, in animation, in whatever? Very rarely. He's come up against magic. He's come up against Constantine plenty of times, probably. But like, having this be Terry's first full adventure after the last one.
Again, it's not that he shouldn't have come around. It's just,
yeah,
it's a little much, and granted, we're grumpy old men, and I call dibs on the Jack Lemmon character. That fine. Makes you Walter Matthau.
That's okay.
You know, because okay. Then you get you know, the uh-huh. redhead ox uh-huh. neck. But stop anyway, back it. To the Batman. It's not a bad story. It's not that I just find the storytelling, you know, fractured. I mean, it's, you know, flipping into the sixth issue here in the trade. I wonder if holograms can shit, because you see Lumos running away from these tie-dyed plant zombies coming after him. He's like, fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, he's just like, I, you know, hey, you guys. Like, you just hear, like, that cartoon, that woo, 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 as he runs away. I do love that shot of Beam looking up at the giant plant, and she's, what the F?
Yeah, she doesn't know what the hell.
And then Terry just comes out, and he's like, time to make the donuts. Mm-hmm. And again, that plant, that main monster plant, looks just like from the Arkham Knight things. I do like Kyle's threat. He's like, talk to me with your mouth, or I'll punch your damn face off.
That's right. Yeah, that's hilarious.
And then Constantine gives him the usual, it's, you know, I'm doing this for the right reasons. Y'all don't care. This is what was going to happen anyway. I'm just trying to save everyone, you know. And it all comes to it. And the emotional hero of this story is Kyle.
Because
they have that thing where he has that moment of silence looking at John.
Yep.
And he tells him exactly how he feels. He tells him how it is. He spells it all out.
Yep.
And that enables, or it gives, like, because John's kind of driving this whole plan thing, and they finally initiate this, the initiative that they were talking about in the first issue, where they spread the Terry, you know, might, you know,
so he basically what they're identity. Doing. Yeah. So basically what they're doing is Terry reveals his identity. Terry McGinnis is Batman, Batman Beyond. And what they did was, and I think this was genius. This is the best part of the story for me. They took the living Gotham nanites and put them to good use, and they made the entire city Batman.
Yeah, and everyone.
But you had to opt into it. You had to make the choice. So the choice was yours. It was not, oh my God, we're going to force this on you. If you want to save your city, opt in, help, let's go.
Yeah, and then I do love the shot of there's this young woman with, like, you know, the multiple piercings and the leather jacket, and she's got like a Batman pin on. And just the shot as the cowl comes down over, and I like that you mentioned the nanites. I was going to bring it up. Like, the nanites are still out there. They're just inactive and everything. But yeah, they use the nanites that everyone gets. Everyone becomes Batman and women.
Yep.
Except when they transform, they all look like Terry, which, you know, branding.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you. But I don't mind that. I think that's cool. Like, you have, like, a whole army of Batman Beyond, or Batman people beyond, whatever. But, yeah, so just really quick, folks, as we are on the sixth issue, I do want to take us through a couple of these panel by panel here where we get the reveal. My name is Terry McGinnis. I was born in Crown Point. I was a juvenile delinquent, and then I put on the cowl. If I can do it, so can you. And then we get all these people, and as Terry's speech goes on, if you're willing to save this city, if you just think it, you can be Batman too. And we get that you can be Batman too with the African-American lady there. And then they all opt in. They all say yes. And then she gets the so shway. And even though I know it's going to turn into a Batman Beyond costume, I'm like, ooh. She could be the new Batwoman. She could be Batwoman.
That's what I was going to say. It was like Batgirl Beyond. Uh-huh. And I was just like, I am here for it.
Yep.
We do have one of my favorite emotional beats of the story is where, you know, Kyle has talked John down.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't advocate smoking, but he's essentially the son of John Constantine. So you have that cool shot where, you know, he's got a dart in his mouth. He summons the little ball of light to light it. And he's like, are you going to keep throwing this tantrum? Are you going to saw it off finally and trust that you left the world just a little bit better than you found it? And John just does that a little bit. And which is followed by a great physical beat where Terry and about five or six other bat people uppercut Kaiju Croc together, and I was just like, I am here for this.
Yep.
You know, and sadly, you know, John, like, he gives it up, but he takes one last drag, and they keep, Kyle's been talking throughout this thing through, and I don't quite understand the how it works, but in teaching Kyle magic, he transferred some, but not all, of the curses that have been laid on him over the decades into Kyle, which is something that has been causing Kyle great pain and kind of screwing with his life. So John, before he dies,
takes the curses back.
Yeah. And then I love how they say, I love you, Dad. I love you too, son. Is sawed off. Go fuck yourself.
Yep, exactly. And
I know that seems a little crass.
No, but, it's not. It's
just let me finish. I know some people might think that's a little crass, but that's how you know you have good friends, where you walk up to him and he's like, hey, Mike, and you flip the one to him, you know, the bird. Yeah. You know, that's how you know you got a real friend and a brother. And honestly, one of the best emotional beats of the story is the juxtaposition of adult Kyle cradling the dead Constantine, the body of his dead dad. And then the underside is more like their spirits, you know, like this is the true John on the inside, you know, old British man in a trench coat with the red tie and young cat boy. And, you know, we get to the end, like the plants are all dying. You know, people are like, you know, demorphing basically. Lumos out on his ass. Finally. Yeah. And I love how that's not explained. Like, I just, you wanted it, and we looked for it, and we got it, but you don't see it, and it's...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it'll get explained in the next one. Who knows?
Who knows, yeah.
I do like how you see what goes on. Like, they're rescuing the kids from the pods that John had them in. Croc has got a pet dog, and he's living in, looks like a Gotham City version of Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Or is that, no, wait, that's a cow. That's a, okay, no, so he's shrank.
Yeah, that's a cow.
He shrank a little bit. Looks like they're, I don't know, they moved the Gestalt to somewhere else, or they've massively upgraded the Batcave. We get the return of the monochromatic news anchor from...
I was going to say that from the show. I love that.
It's I don't so think cool. we ever got a name for that guy.
No, it's just a news anchor. There's no real... There's never been a real name. I don't remember off the top of my head. We'll have to find it later. But the end of this, I'm going to take us through this because I love the end of this. Has Bean Boomer put on a running... Her running shoes? I saw the interview. I hated the interview. You hit your contempt with skill. Oh, I see, now you're lying. So it's Terry and Beam in their apartment, and they have a dinner and everything else. And look who pops up. And he calls Dana, and it rings and rings and rings and rings. Hi, Dana, it's me. Terry? Or am I talking to Batman? No, just me, Terry. And the last part of the thing here, folks, is... Oops, that's the wrong page. Just Terry, and I owe you some answers. Batman Beyond will return.
Yeah, and I do like the image of the bat, you know, flying in front of the moon like that. Like, that's just a classic Batman image.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Part of me is like... No, I want Man Bat Beyond, damn it.
No, we don't. I want the descendant of
Kirk Langstrom rediscovers the genetic science of his great grandfather and he's like, I could be a better Batman than this Terry McGinnis ever was.
No, we don't. So my question now is that Jackson Lansing, Colin Kelly, Max Dunbar. My question to them is, and I hope they listen to this, even though this episode is what it is, what's next? And what kind of, like, are we going to still continue with this timeline, or are we going to do something completely different? Is it going to be Neo, like we had Neo Year, we've got Neo Gothic. Is it going to be Neo Metal or Neo City of Light or whatever? Are we still continuing on with this when this returns? Is it still going to be them doing it? And I'm actually going to ask them on Twitter about this because I'm curious and I'd like to know. And if it isn't them, DC, what are you doing next with this? Because again, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is the 25th anniversary of Batman Beyond. If you don't celebrate it somehow, you're fools. Damn fools.
I'm sure the plan is there, but being that both Marvel and DC are so obsessed with money that they really just, I do believe there are people, honest, hardworking, comic loving people working for Marvel and DC Comics. So much of the business is ruled by the money men. David Zaslav can go die in a fire, you know, and they just, sometimes when you look at the business, it just seems like they treat the comics as IP factories.
Yeah.
And I really hope they do something like, you know, like a direct to DVD, you know, Batman Beyond movie or a short or something. Like, who knows? I really hope they do, but I don't have a lot of hope for that because, like I said, how much of the time they're treated just like IP factories, and both companies seem more concerned about getting media franchises out there and making Boku bank.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, a lot of the stories we've covered since 2015, you know, the Tim Drake run, all the other runs we've covered in between you and I, there is no way. Me personally, there is no way, and there is no voice. There's no voice actor in the history of voice acting currently that could ever replace, not that they would want to, Kevin Conroy. And you cannot adapt any of those comics into DC original films, animated films, whatever, without, unless you kill him off, unless you have some sort of, you know, unless you take stuff from the archives that Kevin did in the past and did some sort of, you know, weird splicing to, splicing together of Kevin Conroy Batman lines, there's no way you can adapt any of those stories without Bruce Wayne. And I do not see a Batman Beyond future without Kevin's voice in it. The only way you, the only way you could do it is if, again, like I said, if there's some sort of splicing at the beginning of it, and then he's just not in the, obviously, because let's say Bruce died or something, and Terry, and I would love to see a Will Friedle voiced Terry McGinnis, as always, along with whomever they're going to get for his young. I would love to see a Batman and Robin Beyond with Terry as Batman and Matt as Robin. That would be cool as hell. But I don't think they're going to be able to cover any of the or adapt any of these comics, because the only other person that could do it that I'd be happy with doing it in live action and animation at this point, now that unfortunately it's been 2 years since Kevin died, Michael Keaton is the only one that I now. And Steve Megatron has been saying, oh, Michael Keaton, live action, old man Bruce, for years. And I agree with him in live action, but not for animation. But now that Kevin's no longer with us, okay, fine. Have Michael Keaton do all of old man Bruce stuff. But I don't think they're going to do that, because I don't think they're that smart.
No, I mean, the only other guy that I would offer as a voice actor for Bruce in a, you know, I really liked Bruce Greenwood as Bruce Wayne Batman in the Young Justice movies.
I'll say it.
I thought Billy Baldwin did a great job in Crisis on Two Earths. You know, like, you have that stone cold line reading. We both looked into the abyss, but when it looked back, you blinked. And then he, you know, one shots James, Owlman.
James Woods.
Thank you. He one shots James Woods Owlman to, you know, planet D13 negative two. So yeah, the entire multiverse doesn't collapse. But no, I think, you know, there are great guys out there. And I think there's probably a lot of undiscovered voice actor talents. To not when I say replace, I mean, don't, no one will ever totally think you can do this. Like, it would be a shame and a travesty to not do it.
Yeah,
but you know, I do hope they put in the time and care, put the offer out to, you know, Mr. Greenwood. I mean, maybe Billy Baldwin would come back, maybe not, you know. But I always thought he was a, I've always enjoyed the stuff I've seen him in. He did really well as Batman in his outing.
Yep.
You know, it's all good. I mean, I felt the same way about Superman when Christopher Reeve died. Like, no one will ever be able to play Superman on film again. And then, you know, we got Brandon Routh, who I thought did a great job in Returns. And then we got the GOAT, Henry Cavill, as Superman. And I honestly, you know, if you don't like it, that's fine. I think Man of Steel is a really good movie. I think it is horribly underrated by people. And I wish he could have stayed as Batman or Superman, and we could have gotten another film out of him at least. But, you know, they're rebooting now, this new guy that's playing Superman in the James Gunn verse is, I don't know, looks the part. I'm waiting for a trailer before I really form a solid opinion. But yeah,
it's,
When we have heroes like this that were part of our childhoods and these kind of core memories, you know, I love Batman. Like, I loved Batman Beyond the Animated Series more than I ever loved Batman TAS, because at the time I was, you know, in my late teens, you know, becoming a young adult. So the story of Terry resonated so much more deeply on an emotional level than, I mean, yeah, Bruce, and you had great emotional gut punch episodes. But yeah, Terry's always been one of my favorite characters in the Batman mythos. I really hope they bring him back. Like, he says he will return, but, you know, that's like saying the Eternals will return in that movie, and I don't think we're ever going to see the Eternals again.
No. Let's hope not. And I didn't even, and I really shouldn't say that because I never even watched Eternals, but I just don't.
I mean, I'm a fan of the Eternals because of, you know, like the Jack Kirby correction, the whole Chariot of the Gods aspect. You know, it's just, I enjoy it, like in the comics. But sadly, the movie, I don't think, it wasn't a bad film.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier about the potential, I don't think they really lived up to the potential inherent in that storyline.
Yeah.
And given the somewhat cookie cutter factory that the Marvel movies have become, especially in, you know, through Phase 4 and into 5 there, where they're just pumping all this schlock out.
Yep.
Which is why everyone is down on Marvel right now. But anyway, DC, Batman Beyond, read this book, folks.
Yeah. What would you give it? 0 to 5.
Oh, this is a straight 5. This is 5 batarangs out of 5.
Oh, really?
Let me explain. It's 5 batarangs out of 5 on art. Because the art on this is absolutely gorgeous. I love that it's not... that like all the twists and the turns and the thin lines and the dark thick lines, like I think the art is straight up 5 out of 5. The story is like a 3.5 to 4 batarangs, because like we said, it's just there isn't as much. I don't need a laser focus, but I think it was a little more scattershot than it really needed to be.
Yeah. Which means for me, it's the overall GCRN rating system. I will put it at a 3.5 overall. But I do agree with you on the art. The art definitely is a 5. The story is much, much lower than that, though.
Yeah, but, like I said, with that shot of Kyle cradling, John, as his dead body. But then you see like there's the memory of, you know, this young boy, you know, cradling his dad, like that was some powerful shit. I'm not going to lie.
It had powerful moments. Like we already said, it went too many different places. So we are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
Mr. Wayne.
Terry, you're hurt.
Just groggy.
Who did this?
It was me.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it. Here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts.
Google Play.
Spotify.
Stitcher.
And everywhere you find great podcasts. So, Can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Transformers! You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Sorry, pal, but you're history. Who sent that thing?
It didn't say. Whoever it was, they didn't stop at one.
Seven against two. Pretty bad odds.
For them.
All right, folks, we are back here in episode 554. That was Batman Beyond Neo-Gothic. Coming up, we've got four episodes, 4 weeks, a whole month of TMNT from IDW Publishing. Joe Reed and I will be back with volumes 5, 6, 7, and 8 of TMNT Reborn. After that, I have no idea, but sometime later this summer, JT will be back because we have to do Mary Jane and Black Cat, Dark Web. Hello.
I
have so many things to say about that comic.
Uh-oh.
So many.
Oh, no. That's going to be a four-hour episode, folks.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll keep it down to just one. But also, we got to do the Batman 89 minis
at some point. Yeah, eventually. Yeah, I gotta write those down on the schedule at some point. But yeah, so that's what's coming up. What do you got going on, sir? Promote yourself.
Well, I mean, right now, just life keeps getting in the way. So it seems like every 2 or 3 weeks, Ben and I get together to record the Comic Connoisseurs podcast that we started several years ago. Last long while, Ben's kind of completely soured on North American comics, like traditional superhero comics. So he's been reading a lot more manhwa, like Korean manga. We've done several episodes on that. We've had some really fun conversations. You know, some of the storytelling, like it's like manga where you have one character and they'll go to one extreme or the other in the character spectrum. I've read a few manhwa now, not completely, but stuff that I definitely want to keep going on. And, we do stuff. I haven't done anything with Mike the Birdman and Alex and Ken over at Twig for a minute, but, you know, still got the Sunday funnies going there. We've got some plans to come back strong whenever life allows us to do that. Right. And aside from that, I'm just trying to not grab a bag of oranges and run into the streets smacking people, because life is hard.
Yes, but the oranges are harder.
It doesn't leave a mark.
No, it peels out. All right, thank you for joining us inside the Fullback. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcasting clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. Follow us on X at Geekcast Radio, at The Pullbag for the network and the show, respectively. I am at TFG and Mike. Are you still doing X?
Now and again. It's, if you look for at JT from Saskatoon on Twitter, I refuse to call it what Elon says we have to call it, Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I'm basically just there doom scrolling till 3 a.m. like most people. I think I've made like 3 or 4 TikToks in the time I've been on there, and I don't really feel a desire to do anything like that.
I refuse TikTok completely. I will, if somebody sends a link to me that's a TikTok video, fine, I'll watch it, but I am not downloading that Chinese crap on my phone. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. You can also check out The Pullbag over there, as well as myself, TFG and Mike. Next time, as I mentioned, Joe Reed will be back as we do IDW Publishing's Teenage Mutant Turtles Volume 5, Mystic Sister. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
JT from Saskatoon.
As always, make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Who do you think you're talking to, old man? We're the Jokers!
Sure you are.